Y'all, it seems like we're about to have a sermon on tithing, and we're not. But we are going to look at this passage, the passage that we talked about in three questions, the passage that we've already got this morning. So we're not going to read it again right now, but we're going to think about that passage. We're going to dwell on that passage. We're going to think about what that passage is actually saying. And so there's so many great things that we see here, but I love this picture because Mark 12 records this story. And it's this picture of, it's this probably a crowded day in the temple because the temple's always busy. The temple's like going to Walmart in Brownwood, right? Lots of people there, lots of things going on, a whole bunch of people. If you want to know what's going on with someone in town, you go to Walmart and you're going to see about 15 people you know, and you're going to hear about all the different stories. You're going to hear so many different things. That's kind of like what the temple was for a lot of ways for the Jewish life. And it's just this crowded day. There's people absolutely everywhere. There probably is all kinds of activity. There's families. There's people of all ages that are there. And you're having these feet that are just shuffling across the floor. You know, it's murmuring. It's conversations. If you're ever in a big crowd, you know, and you hear just conversations going on, you pile a whole bunch of people into a smaller space and it's just this hum of noise, of voices, of all this. You've got all the trappings of religion, if you want to think about it that way, are taking place here. This is the center of religious life. And there are these little offering temple chests that there were 13 of them that were set out there, a way to picture them like the first century offering plates, right? You know, like we have an offering plate right outside there and an offering plate right there and all of our foyers, and you go by and give them. They had something similar, and they had 13 of these chests. And almost hidden in the midst of all the business, in the midst of everything that's going on, Jesus goes and he sits down in the temple. And I love this picture because he sits down, he's not there to preach, he's not there to heal, he's not there to confront. What is it that he's doing? He's watching. He's just sitting there and he's watching. He positions himself across from the treasury. He's seeing all the people that are giving and people are coming forward. And it's always kind of funny to see how people are going to give. Some of y'all, you crack me up because it's fun to watch as people walk by the offering plate. Some people are going to pull theirs out. They're going to wave around. Other people are going to hide it, and then they're going to, you know, just fling it in there as they walk by like no one sees it, right? And some people are going to be, you know, it's going to be, you know, they're going to be a conversation over there in the foyer, and they're going to be like, oh, excuse me, I got to go give my offering over there. And I'm not trying to say that one's bad and one isn't, right? But it's just in the same way. I think that there are people that are walking up confidently to the offering things. They're putting things in there. And then there are people that are just kind of a little more casual about it. Some people are maybe even a little bit careful about it. But here, you imagine this, that there are these 13 little chests where offerings are taken up. And I kind of picture seeing what Jesus was seeing because Jesus is watching. And I kind of think, okay, there's probably someone that came through and there's just a man by himself and he's putting money in there. Next, you might have, you know, a family that's there and you know, the mom or the dad gives some coins to the son and he's going to go and put it in there. And, you know, he's going to be so proud and come back beaming. I mean, just that type of picture. Are you catching the picture of what's happening here? Now, meanwhile, there's all other things that are going on out here. This is in the court of the Gentiles of the temple. But from the outside, it looks like, okay, these are people that are just giving offerings. They're doing the right thing. But I love this because Jesus isn't responding to all the noise around him. He's just watching. He's not teaching. He's not talking. He's just watching and he's observing all of this take place. And he's seeing all these people that are coming up and giving offerings. This moment that probably felt pretty significant. And the God, ironically, they're giving offerings to the temple, but really they're trying to give it to God. And the very God that they're giving it to, some of them don't even realize he's sitting right over there watching them. Catch the irony in that situation, you know? And he's just kind of watching him. And here's this, you know, that can be kind of a little bit unsettling, right? I don't know if you're like me. Some of you guys, as soon as you get here on Sunday morning, you put your offering right in the offering plate because you want to do it when no one's around. Right? Could you imagine how creepy it would be if we pass the offering plate and I sat right here in front of Mark Alicious and Sydney and stared at him? That'd be creepy, wouldn't it? Would you be creeped out if I was staring at you watching that? Right? Would it change the way you would give? Would it change the way that you would respond? Now, here's this picture. I think Jesus is far enough away that people don't even realize that he's watching them. I think they don't necessarily even see that. But here's Jesus, and he's sitting there. And he's seeing things that others don't. So here's what, let's go ahead and read this again, verse 41 through 44, because I think verse 41 has something that I want to talk about here. Verse 41 through 44 says, "Sitting across from the temple treasury, he watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums." Right? So here's this picture. All these rich people are coming through, and there are all these large sums that are being put in there. Jesus is observing all this. But there's one little word there that I think a lot, even some of our translations don't include one of the words that's actually there in the Greek. It's this little word like pos. And pos is this little tiny word in the translation that I'm using here, the Christian Standard Version. It's in verse 41, and it says this, "He watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury." That little word pos is what Christian Standard says is the word how. It's this Greek word that's an adverb. It actually comes from this whole thing, and it's kind of talking about in what way, in what manner. This is a word that Jesus isn't watching what people are doing. He is watching how people are doing it. You catch this picture? Jesus is paying attention to how they're doing it, right? I mean, I hope someone did an interpretive dance, you know, and they put their money in and dunked. I don't know. Imagine he is paying attention to the way that they actually do it. He is watching the how. Not necessarily what they're doing, but how they're doing it. That is what Jesus' attention is on. Not just on what they give, but on how and on why. Now, I want to pause here for just a sec, right? I want you to think about your actions. I want you to think about everything you do. Even if you've been by and dropped an offering in one of our offering plates here this morning as you're here. What's funny, you think about those actions, and does it actually reveal your heart? What do those actions reveal? Now, Jesus is watching for how they're giving. He's looking for the why, the how behind it. He is looking for the stories behind the actual actions. That is what he is paying attention to. Isn't that pretty fascinating to think about? He's not just focused on the fact that they're giving offerings. He's focused on why they're giving. This is why when he talks to the disciples, he's like, look, this lady gave everything. He is focused on the behind-the-scenes things, the things that you can't tell just from looking, just from the external observation. He's looking at the heart. Now, it makes me really think about the actions that I took this week. Because let's be honest, there's some actions you took this week that were just actions you had to do. There were some things that you did this week because it was just something you felt like you should do. But then there were actions that you took this week that was your heart on display, right? Now, I say all that to say, I'm not saying that giving should be your heart on display. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying Jesus says for this lady it was. Now, here's this picture. I want you to think about your actions this week, right? Which ones revealed your heart? Which ones didn't? Right? This is what I love because Jesus, he's focused on the heart and he's focused on how they're doing it. He's focused on those internal things and how they flow out on the outward things, which is a fascinating thing, right? I love to think about it this way. Jesus is looking for this lady who's giving with all of her heart, but can you really truly change your heart? Can you really truly change your behaviors? Now notice, this is saying, I think what Jesus is saying, her inside is flowed to her outside. This action is an overflow of her heart. It's just this huge thing here. And y'all, I love the way Paul says this in Philippians 4:8, because Paul's writing and he writes this. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things." Now, how many of you, if you were had to say, okay, I am exactly the person that I wish I was, would any hands be up there? Right? If you could change something about yourself, how many of you would have something you'd want to change? Probably just about every hand would go up, right? Would you change absolutely everything about yourself? I would turn into Markalicious, right? You know? Sorry, Mark, we keep doing that today, don't we? But here's this picture, right? I love this thing because this idea that Paul is giving in Philippians 4, he's going, man,
okay, if you want to be the person that wants to do right, if you want to be the person that's all that, dwell on these things, what's true, what's honorable, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, what's commendable, what's of moral excellence, anything praiseworthy. Why do you think Paul says dwell on those things? You know why? Because what you think affects who you are. The way that your mind works, it literally affects you. And Paul is saying, look, you need to be intentional about getting your heart right. And you know what that begins with? Getting your mind right. Focus on what you're thinking about. Focus on what you're dwelling on. Y'all, this is a... I love this picture because one of the ways we change our heart is we change how we think, right? We change what we do by changing how we think. And this lady is a perfect example of all that. She's giving everything that she has because she just wants to give what she can. But I love this picture because, y'all, we need to be intentional even about our choices, even our decisions. That even comes down to like media choices. That even comes down to the books that we read. It comes down to the people that we let influence us. We need to be careful about what you let dwell up in here. And that's what Philippians 4:8 is about. It's saying dwell on the things that are good. Dwell on the things that will make you better. And now Jesus, he's sitting here, right? And he's watching all of these people give their offerings. Now let me ask this. If you're, we don't know how long he was watching there. He might have been there for 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. Do you think he saw some people that were giving and they made sure that they were giving in such a way that other people saw them give? Right? I mean, I think there are some people that were giving intentionally so that other people would see that they gave. Right? It's all about intentionality. It's all about what you want to do. Some actions we take with the intentions to show something. And then there are some actions that we take that just can't help but reveal our heart. Which leads to this point that I want to make here. That I think that there's a real danger of some... One of my commentaries I was looking at over this passage talked about the subtle self-deception. The ways that we lie to ourselves. And earlier that, right before this passage even, Jesus had been talking about the scribes. He had been talking about the respected ones, the religious leaders, the scribes, the polished ones, the kinds of people that would walk to the temple like they belong there. The kinds of people that you're like, okay, when I picture the temple, yeah, that's the guy I would picture here, right? Jesus has just finished talking about them. We're going to look at that here in a minute. But they said the right things. They did the right things. They would say the right prayers. But here's what Jesus says about those guys right before this happens. Let's go back to verse 38 through 40 because I think this is so important. Notice he's here in the temple. He hasn't sat down yet, but he's there teaching, and here's what he says. Verse 38. He also said in his teaching, beware the scribes who want to go around in long robes and who want greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues, the places of honor at banquets. Verse 40, y'all, is sobering. It says, they devour widows' houses, and they say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher judgment. These are the people that he's saying, man, they love being seen. They love being honored. And yet somehow in the middle of all their religious activity, they had lost the heart of God. They had lost the picture of what they're supposed to be. And you know what the most scary part about it is? They didn't even know it. Jesus says that they're deceiving people. They're deceiving even themselves. They don't even realize what it is that they're doing. Now, standing here in the temple, you can see this picture. People are giving, people are worshiping God, people are doing all the right things. But some of them that are there, and Jesus is pointing out the scribes here, they're measuring their faith by what others can see. And Jesus is measuring it by something entirely different, isn't it? Not by the external. Not by what can be seen, but by the heart. He is looking at the how that they do their actions, not the actions themselves. Are you with me on all that? Jesus has a totally different perspective. And some of you expressed that during the three questions time. But it raises this interesting picture, right? Can you be sincere and still be wrong? Can you do something for God and you would go, that's a good thing to do, but it's still the wrong thing to do? Right?
I remember when I was a teenager, I learned this lesson kind of a hard way because I got asked to do something that was going to be big and visible and in front of everybody. And I'm like, well, of course I'd want to do that. Why wouldn't God want me to do that? And God later on said, what if I didn't want you to do that? And I went, well, but why wouldn't you? And he goes, are you doing it because you want everyone to see you doing it, or are you doing it because I called you to do it? Oh, that was so hard, y'all. It was a hard lesson to learn, right? Because this is what's taking place right here in the temple when Jesus is watching that. Some people are giving their offerings and it's just this, well, this is what we're supposed to do. Other people are doing it because they're going, man, I want people to see me give this offering in there. And then some people are doing it because it's an expression of their heart. This little sweet widow lady is one of them. Some of them measure their faith by what others can see, but Jesus is measuring it by something totally different. So I want to talk about this offering, right? I want to talk about this gift here. So there were these little, you heard me talk about the 13 little chests, the little offering chests that they would have. These 13 little chests, it's kind of hard to picture what they look like because the way that they're described by Jewish historians is they're described by like kind of having a shofar shape with a chest that would kind of collect things. So here, like I've got a little tiny shofar, which would be a ram's horn. This is Gary and Patty's. And what you would see is notice you've got wide on one end and narrow on another. They had some sort of something like this where you'd put your money in there and then it would fall down in it and it would work its way through it and fall into a bigger chest. So they would have something that was kind of curved and kind of thing like this. Are you with me on all that? Now, so what people would do is once you put your money in there, it would rattle around, it would work its way through however long it was, and y'all, this would have been much bigger than this, I'm sure. And then it would land on all the coins over there. Keep in mind, there were no paper money. Everything was coins. Everything was bronze. Everything was silver. You would have those types of coins there. There would be copper, not bronze, excuse me. But that kind of gives you an idea. So this lady comes along, and she's got what is called a mite, right? So this little widow's mite, the ones that the ladies just got this morning here, was the smallest Jewish coin that was out there. I mean, the smallest coin that you would get in the Roman Empire. It was this little tiny coin. I was given one when I was in college by my parents for Christmas one year. That thing was the coolest thing. It was great. I thought when we were in seminary, when Alice and I, we'd gotten married at this point and we were in seminary, and I thought, you know what? I want to start carrying that coin in my pocket. Y'all, because I'm a big old nerd, right? So I wanted to start carrying this ancient coin. So every time I would reach my hand in my pocket, I'd feel that. It would remind me, hey, I need to give everything to Jesus. But you know the bad part about the widow's mite? It was so small that I lost it. Sorry, Mom and Dad. I have to look at the camera because they're probably watching. I'm so sorry. So you know what? I went and bought another one. It wasn't too long before I lost that one as well, too. I even don't remember where I lost that one. We were at this church event, and we're out in a field with a whole big youth group, and I had to pull my keys out of my pocket, and that little tiny coin popped out, and it fell into the grass. And this was out in the field. There's all kinds of grass and dead grass everywhere. Y'all, I looked for like half an hour, and I never found that thing. You know why? Because this is how big the widow's mite is. This is one of those coins, like what we just gave the ladies. I'm holding one right here. All right? Now, can you imagine that you've got like the little horn, the little thing that they're dropping their offering to, and it's working its way down, and it's landing on top of other coins. People are giving, and notice it Mark's making the case. You see this in Luke as well, too, when Luke records this in Luke chapter 21, that there are rich people that are giving. You know how you know they were rich? Because it's making all kinds of noise. Imagine these two little coins working their way through there. You think it made much of a splash inside of the thing? Not at all. It would have been just this little tiny thing. And I'm going to have to put this back in the sleeve because otherwise I will lose it in my pocket. And I will lose yet another widow's mite, and I don't want to do that. Because this one's not even mine, y'all. But here's the thing, right? It's just this incredible thing, and people are giving these loud gifts. And this one lady puts in two little small coins that are so small, you couldn't even probably hear it. But yet, it continues to be heard today, Isn't that incredible?
It is not the most impressive from a financial perspective from the temple. But her gift is overwhelmingly impressive from a spiritual perspective. And Jesus commends her above everyone else. Because here's, and I love this picture because a lot of people probably miss that this had happened altogether, but not Jesus. Because he's watching, he's looking, he's paying attention. And it's not just about what fell in the money. I mean, what fell in the treasury. It's not just about the money. It's about her trust. And I love this picture because those two coins were extra. They weren't a comfortable gift for this lady to give. It was a small gift, yes. But it wasn't a comfortable gift. This wasn't her going, okay, let me see. If I give this, then I can still have enough to buy bread and eggs. And so I could. It's not that at all. We see the case here that Jesus makes the case. She gave everything she had, all she had to live on. You know what it's doing here? If she lets go of those two coins, she is letting go of control. There's no backup plan, no safety net, no guarantee. The only thing that she has is her trust and her faith in God. Even to take care of her needs. You know what this is? This isn't, people say that this is generosity. People are like, okay, she's giving generously, she's doing all this. She's really not. You know what she's doing? She's sacrificing. This isn't generosity. This is surrender over to God. This is trust in God to take care of her. Because the truth is, God, his economy runs on different metrics than ours. Right? This lady, this widow, and keep in mind, I think that Mark and Luke make a big point of saying she's a widow immediately right after Jesus had said in verse 38 and verse 39. And when you get to verse 40, he says that the scribes devoured widows' houses. Right? That's how it's described, that they devoured widows' houses. And they say long prayers for show. And now she is in the temple worshiping the same God with those same scribes. Can I just make one more little aside here, y'all? I'm not trying to lecture. I'm not trying to say anything else. But how many times do we avoid going to church because someone else makes us mad? Because someone else has hurt our feelings. So it's easier for us to stay at home than it is to come to church. Y'all, mini lecture over, but let me just point this out. She is going to the very people that Jesus had just said, they're the people that devour widows' houses. And the sweet little widow who only has two pennies to live off of is there worshiping alongside them in the temple. I love that because for her, it's about her trust in God. And Jesus, in this moment, he calls his disciples over. And I imagine that they're kind of looking confused. And Jesus is like, did you see what that little widow just gave? And imagine if some of them did, they'd be like, yeah, she must not love you as much as the rest of us. Or they'd be like, well, yeah, it wasn't that impressive. And I think they might be a little bit confused, you know, because nothing about that moment seemed impressive. There was no large sum, probably no dramatic gesture, quiet little sound as the money goes in there. And yet Jesus says that she gives more than all the others. Well, how's the more? As we talked about in our three questions, as people pointed out, the value for God isn't measured by the amount. It's measured by the trust. It's measured by the faith. It's measured by the sacrifice. It's measured by your dependence on Him. One of my commentaries said everyone else gave from their life, but she gave her life. I love that picture. She gave everything that she had. And in this moment, this is a foreshadowing of the cross. I really think it is. Because Jesus is soon going to give everything. From the outside, it's going to seem like a loss. It's going to feel like it's not a big deal. But the sacrifice of Jesus changes everything. When Jesus rises again from the grave, that's just this picture about how we can be restored in a relationship with Him. But it's also this picture about how Jesus gave up everything, just like this lady does. She has the heart of Christ. So this is so much deeper than just what's given, right? Could you imagine if the kingdom of God was run like a financial board? You know, could you imagine that? And we have a great finance team outside. We really do. I love our finance team. Man, they have the heart of Jesus. But a lot of churches, it's not necessarily that way. But imagine if we ran like the kingdom of God, if we thought it ran like the finance committee of a church, right? We'd be like, well, you know, we regret to inform you that these two coins do not meet our strategic funding goals. You know, you'd hear things like that, right? But in God's economy, the question is never how much did it raise, but how much did it cost? And for this lady, it wasn't about how much it raised for the temple. It was about how much it cost her. And Jesus goes, man, she's committed above everyone else. And the truth is, most of us aren't going to be asked to give every last dollar away. I'm grateful for that. I think you probably are too, right? But there's probably something that all of us in here are holding on to for security. We hold on to things that just feel too risky to let go of. Something that quietly says, you know what, if I don't have this, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Now, I want you to understand, this lady gave every penny she had, literally. Do you think that felt dangerous and unsafe for her? I suspect it probably did. She would probably say, no, I knew God would take care of me. But for me, and for a lot of us in here who are so driven by that feeling of security we get from being able to meet the funds, meet the budget we have, being able to survive, have a roof over our head, that can be a scary and terrifying thing. What is it that you hold on to? Is it control over the future? Is it reputation? Is it comfort? Is it stability? Is it the plans that you have that you've so carefully built? What is it that you're hanging on to? Y'all, this story causes us to rethink what stewardship is, right? Because it's not about what you're obligated to give, but it's about giving what God wants of you. And in her case, it was everything. But it's about rethinking security too. She's relinquishing any economic control she has, and she's just trusting that God's going to take care of her, even financially. It's about rethinking discipleship, right? You can't measure it about any kind of eternal success, but it has to be that how. It has to be that inside thing that God measures. So this is where this passage becomes really personal for us, because what are the little coins that we're holding on to? What are the little things that we don't want to give up because they make us feel safe? What is it that we don't want to let go of because it makes us uncomfortable to not have that in our life? What is it that you're getting your security in? This lady was willing to give up everything. And I picture people as they went that day. There might have been someone who had been saving up money for a long time. And this is a great thing. I'm not saying it's bad, but they came and they put in all this money and they're so proud of how much they gave. And the widow walks away with nothing left in her hands. But you know what I think she's proud of? How much she gave as well too. Because it's about the heart, whether you're giving a lot or whether you're giving a little. The size doesn't matter. What matters is the cost. What matters is the heart. What matters is that you're just being faithful to the God who loves you so much. And this little widow walks away with no money left, not a dime, not a penny to her name, no money, no cushion, just her and her relationship with God. And according to Jesus, she's the only one who left really, truly rich. So here's this picture. As you go through this week, what are your actions that really show your heart? What is it that you're going to do this week that's going to be your heart on display? And as funny as it sounds, you probably should plan to put your heart on display this week. It is so easy for those things that we're passionate about to just be reactionary. When those moments come up, we go, oh yeah, this is a big deal to me, and we deal with all that. Y'all, I want to challenge you this week. Figure out what actions motivate your heart, and then focus on those. Be intentional about making sure that you get to take those actions. Right? What is it that can show your heart? As funny as it sounds, one of the ways I'm going to show my heart is I love the Sunset Terrace community, so we're going to go do a block party with them. And I love my Southside family, and I want to be a part of you in a social aspect. We're going to do a block party Saturday morning. Y'all, that can be a show of your heart. Worship here, being here this morning, can be a show of your heart. Going and mowing your neighbor's yard because you know that they can't do it, that can be a show of your heart. Giving money can be a show of your heart. Making a phone call can be a show of your heart. Firing off a birthday card to someone can be a show of your heart. We have so many incredible ways that God uses us. Let your heart be on display this week. Let God use your actions. Let who you are, the how, all those things inside, let that overflow. Be intentional about showing your heart in one way this week. Can you do that? Let's have a word of prayer as our praise team is coming back up. God, what is it that I'm holding on to that I shouldn't? What is it that I'm holding on to because I'm scared to give to you? God, I ask myself questions like that all the time. And I pray that all of us in here are going to live a life committed to you. Live a life devoted to you. Live a life like this widow who doesn't know where her next meal will even come from. But she goes, But I know the God who created my digestive system and understands that I need food, and I'm going to trust in Him. God, we're grateful for how You love us, how You care for us, how You see us. Even the unseen people, God sees us, and we're grateful for that. Jesus noticed the one person that probably everybody else ignored, and He loved what He saw from her. God, help us to be intentional. Help us to realize that our actions can point people to You. Help us to live out our passions this week. Help us to be passionate about the right things and help it to live through that. Use our lives, use our stories for Your kingdom. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.